Hi, my name is Franklin Lopez, and I am part of the Vancouver Media Co-op, and I also run a website called submedia.tv.
And you just came in back from Japan?
Yeah, I got back here on Sunday, and I basically went straight from the airport to the occupation at the Vancouver Art Gallery.
And now you're at Occupy Vancouver?
Occupy Vancouver on unceded Coast Salish territories.
Yeah, because that was a debate also between colonized and decolonized.
I think that, you know, one of the things that's happening here is that you have a lot of folks who this is their first sort of experience at being in a protest situation. And so a lot of the analysis activists have been trying to push over the years is new to all these folks. So the issue of indigenous sovereignty is an issue that a lot of these folks have never really dealt with. So I think, in a sense, we need to be patient and try to explain these things to people because people are not born knowing these things, right? And so we've been pushing for this acknowledgement, and we got it. And we got it, but there's people who still are not entirely sure about this issue.
Yeah, so that's going on now. But before you was in Japan, and you came back a couple of days ago?
Yeah, I was touring with my film NCIV. I did a five-city tour, and all the screenings were completely jam-packed. The theme of the film deals with environmental destruction and the need to dismantle the mechanisms that are destroying nature. And due to the recent nuclear disaster in Fukushima, the presenting of this film was very timely. And I think people there get it.
What did you learn from your different experience on tour?
Well, a bunch of different things, actually. The main one, though, is that there's activists who they're grassroots. They're not involved with any NGO. They're anarchists. And they've been doing demonstrations every month since the accident. So on April 11th, May 11th, and so on. They never expected to have these huge turnouts. You know, on the first one, they had 10,000 people. And they've topped out about 20,000 people. And I asked them why they were surprised, and they said it's because activist culture and the left in general has been basically dead for 20 years, you know, between the years 1980s and the 1990s. And so activism and protests are not really seen positively by Japanese people, by Japanese society in general. But, you know, this situation is so messed up that people are figuring out that, you know, there has to be dissent. People have to take it to the street. Also, the police are very, very strong in Japanese culture, and Japanese culture in general is a very controlled society. And police, for instance, can arrest you or an activist or anybody and hold you for 23 days without charge. And that's a lot of what's been happening. The police have been arresting key activists, basically taking them out of commission, throwing them in jail, and then releasing them after 23 days, therefore disrupting their lives. You know, people lose their jobs. Maybe they can't pay for their apartment. They get kicked out of their apartment. And so that's one of the things that these folks face. So their context is pretty unique in a certain degree, and they have to do actions that are going to count. So if they're going to be arrested, they have to do things in a way where the arrest is going to be worth it.
Did you find people doing a specific action there, or...?
The actions that they've been doing around the nuclear stuff have been large demonstrations with huge sound trucks. They call them noise demos. And so they basically get these flatbed trucks with huge sound systems, and they put bands in them. And so, in a sense, it's a way for people to release rage, but also to have a joyful experience while they're protesting. So it's not just people, like, chanting and holding signs, but it's people dancing crazily on the street to, like, hip-hop or hardcore punk or just dance music. So that's around the nuclear stuff. But, you know, these activists were already busy with all the other messed up stuff that's happening in society. So a lot of them work with poverty issues, and a lot of them work around migrant workers, you know, day laborers. I should say that their day laborers are used as workers in the really contaminated zones around the disaster area as well. So, you know, not only do these activists now have to take on, you know, the nuclear issue, which is I think in a sense primary because half of Japan is contaminated with radiation, but they on top of that they have to deal with all this activism that they were dealing in the past.
And now you came back in North America, and you will be there for a couple of months at least.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be at Occupy Vancouver as long as it takes. We're now on day four. I've been here for 3 days now. And this thing, you know, the large, like, union crowd that came here on Saturday are all gone. But what's left here is, like, a very large tent city. And the tent city itself keeps growing every day. I see more tents today than I saw yesterday or the day before. And what you're also seeing is a lot of homeless people have been moving here as well, which is very encouraging, because that way that issue can be in the face of society in a very prominent space in the city of Vancouver.
You are also doing a new project, and you release, like, something about BC, the so-called BC, where the people are fighting against the pipeline called Stop the Flows.
Yeah, so Stop the Flows is the working title of the project. The project is still taking shape, but my original idea was to do a film about movements of resistance in the past. I've sort of modified that to focus on movements of resistance now that are trying to stop the flows of carbon, of capital. In the case of Japan, the flows of radiation, right? And so one of the main things that I wanted to focus on in that first one was that indigenous folks here in BC are facing several pipeline projects that will go through their communities in central BC and out to the Pacific coast, bringing tar sands oil, but not just oil, also liquefied natural gas through those pipelines. And so they're not waiting for these projects to be totally approved. The Unist'ot'en clan of the Wet'suwet'en Nation have been created a camp last year, and then they started building a cabin in the exact right-of-way where these pipelines are going. They have this strong affinity with their land, and they're willing to confront industry and the government to stop these very destructive pipelines from going through the territory.
And you was already also talking about the importance of indigenous struggles in the so-called country before, with the Nowak and the Mohawks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, the example that I use in NCIV for to talk about people who have this great affinity with the land was to highlight Oka, because those are folks who basically tried peacefully first, and the government did not listen to them. And so once they realized that the government was going to mow down their pines and cut them down and expand the golf course, they were like, no, this is our land, and you will not do this. And they took up arms, they blockaded themselves, and they fought not just with the police, but they also fought with the army, and they won. And so I think it's important for us to see that even within North America, where we think these things don't happen, that they do happen, and that people fight with a lot of heart, and they fight against an enemy that's supposed to be stronger and more powerful than them, but they're still able to win. So I highly recommend that people watch Gana Tatagi, 270 Years of Resistance, because it's a fantastic film that basically explains the whole situation at Oka.
And also, if people want to see and save with other people, we are doing a movie presentation this week, Thursday, a new presentation offensive. We'll have the two presentation offensive in October and November.
I highly appreciate that. I made that film for people to see it, and I'm not putting any restrictions on people to screen it. So it's online for free. People can watch it in 9 languages at ncev.com. They should go to your screenings, though, because I think the discussion afterwards is very important. They can download the film and have screenings in their communities as well. And, you know, just get that conversation going. You know, we're living in an ecological apocalypse right now, and we got to fight like hell to protect what's left of nature.
What is the near future for you, like, as a person in struggles with the struggles you participate in, or about Samizdat.tv?
You're asking me what is the future for me?
Like, the near future.
The near future, I not expect this whole occupation to happen a few weeks ago. Now it's happening. And so I think what we are seeing here is a huge mobilization of people that understand that things are messed up in the world. They want to do something about it. And so, you know, for the time being, I'm actually putting everything on hold and just helping here at Occupy Vancouver because we're building infrastructure right here where, you know, it's actually pretty amazing what has been accomplished in just a few days, you know. But they still need a lot of help, and I feel that, you know, this is a revolutionary moment. This is a moment that we got to grab. We got to make this happen right now. We at least got to give it our all. So, you know, in a sense, like, I think a lot of people here are taking a chance, you know. I'm taking a chance, but also all the folks who are taking a chance. So My future is going to be at this occupation until it's done.
I think we'll let you go right now, and we can anyway do something else later.
Thanks so much, Christian, and thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks, Frank.
To your listeners, please go to the screenings in Montreal and the rest of Quebec.
And you can also continue to see your show on Is the End of the World As We Know It, and I Feel Fun on SunMedia.tv. Or Stimulator.tv.
I'm hoping to crank one out this week, but I'm not going to make any promises.
Okay. But they can also listen to your reports on Vancouver.mediacoop.ca about the Occupy Vancouver.
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing it up. I've cranked out two reports, but also other people from the Media Co-op have been posting photos and opinion pages and whatnot. So, yeah, again, Vancouver.mediacoop.ca. Or they can go to our website called mediacoop.ca/occupy. Where they can see news from occupations all over Canada.
Thanks for all the inspiration coming from you.
Absolutely, Christian, and you guys are inspiring me as well, so just keep doing what you're doing.
You too.